composer Joby Talbot's resume ranges from rock band to ballet compositions, and his most recent project is the music for the animated film Sing. We just heard a clip from the score. The movie opens in Atlanta tomorrow, and I spoke with Joby via Skype about what it takes to create music for these huge animated productions. Sing is an animated film with animals as its characters, and they are part of an American Idol-esque, if you will, singing competition. The movie uses a lot of popular music throughout, and as the composer, what was your role in the overall music direction for the film?
Well, I wasn't really involved in the choice of songs. I mean, that was like a vast undertaking. I think there's 103 different songs that appear in one shape or form during the course of the film. So it was really my job to kind of cover absolutely everything else. So all the kind of storytelling music that takes you in and out of the characters' heads and in between all the different complicated storylines was down to me. And I had to sort of finesse going in and out of these songs, because I mean the danger with a film that's structured like this is that, you know, if we have to keep stopping for singing, then the narrative very soon becomes clunky and kind of interrupted. So it's very important that the music kind of carries you through as much as possible, gives the film a real sense of forward momentum.
Where did you come into the process for the animated film in particular? I mean, it's difficult enough scoring for a film and advancing the narrative, but here you're describing it as such an integral process. At what point were you brought in?
Well, a film of this kind of enormity, the current way that animation works, takes, I don't know, 3 years from start to finish, or maybe even more with the development process. And I came in, went for meetings, watched it in a really early state, and I started writing music probably about a year before we finally recorded it. And it was a sort of on-off process. I went out to Paris, which is where the animation actually happens, to work closely with the director and the editor on it. And, it was very much sort of dipping one's toe in the water and trying to see, you know, what was going to work with the movie. And then, I suppose, after about 6 months of toing and froing, we kind of found the right palette, and then it was kind of race to the finish.
Hmm. Well, I was wondering how you got involved with Sing. Was someone on the creative team already a fan of your scores for ballet or the other works you've written?
Yes, my very good friend Garth Jennings, who's the director and writer of the film, which is quite unusual in itself, you know, because the current sort of contemporary animated feature tend to have multiple directors and multiple writers, so it's very unusual to find one person taking on both those jobs. He's done two previous feature films, both of which I've scored, and we're very close, and we're both, you know, he's one of my absolute favorite collaborators I've ever worked with, and he's a huge supporter of mine. Yeah, he's been to he's been to see my Alice in Wonderland ballet at the Royal Ballet multiple times, took all his family and friends. I mean, he's a great supporter. And when he was asked by Illumination to come on board and do this, he asked if I would come along too. Very lucky to say, they went along with that. They really kind of gave him absolutely kind of everything he needed to make this, bring his vision to fruition.
It sounds like the ideal collaboration you have, but, you know, you're talking about 3 years. I have a better appreciation for all those credits that roll at the end of a film when you remind me or make me aware of the fact that it's a 3-year process for something like this. You are not the only musical contributor to Sing. Stevie Wonder wrote a song for it, which has been nominated in the Best Original Song category for a Golden Globe. And the film appears to be just filled with American popular music, which is obviously different from the operas, ballet, and choral works you've written. When you scored this, did you have the popular American music canon in your ear?
Yeah, I mean, I have a kind of interesting and very varied background musically, because whilst I, as you say, have written a lot of, you know, opera and ballet and lots of classical concert pieces, I also was in a rock and roll band for 8 years. And it was in that sort of iteration of myself that I first met Garth. You know, he started out as a really successful pop music video director. And I was playing in a band, you know, back in the 90s, early 2000s, and we were all in the same sort of circle of collaborators and friends. And, you know, that's, so I kind of started out with him, like, on that side of the fence, the more kind of pop music thing. And when it came to the scoring of Sing, it was more, there was definitely an American feel to what we were trying to do, but it was more listening to the great orchestral works of Gershwin and Bernstein than pop music per se, because I'm not trying to write pop songs between the pop songs. I'm trying to write something that has its own kind of identity and fulfills a very different function. So yeah, we were listening to something like, you know, West Side Story and the Cuban Overture of Gershwin. Garth gave me a wonderful note. It's the nicest note I've ever had from a director. Like, when you're starting out, he said, you know, I want a score that when the audience are sitting in the theater watching the movie, they can't help but start kind of twitching their shoulders in time with the music. And that was my kind of opening gambit.
It seems that your collaboration with Garth is one of close friendship as well as being professional associates. But composing is such a solitary exercise. How involved do you get with film directors in the process? How much of your own voice gets through?
Well, it varies from project to project. And in something like this, where it's a very kind of well-worked structure, you know, they don't miss a trick, these companies like Illumination. I mean, they want to completely maximize their investment and make sure that the film is absolutely every bit as good as it could possibly be. So the music, along with the animation and the script and everything else, gets worked and reworked and reworked. I mean, I think I've got 75 different versions of one particular cue on my computer, which I think is a record for me. And of course, it's not just the director you're dealing with. I mean, Illumination Entertainment, who made this film, have a very extraordinary and charismatic head in the person of Chris Meledandri. And, you know, if you look at the opening credits of Sing, it's a Chris Meledandri film, and most certainly is. He has ultimate control over everything. So, you know, sometimes the director would ask me to do something and I would follow along those lines, and then Chris would come on and he'd have a different take, and, you know, you'd probably end up with a combination of both. So it was a very kind of collaborative process. But you're so right when you say that composition is a very solitary thing to do. And I don't really mind bringing other people in and working closely in that way with collaborators, because I know that, like, you know, next month I'll be working on a guitar concerto or something, and I'll just be like crying out for somebody to talk to, you know, somebody to share the process with. So it's actually quite nice. And I've always felt very much that the sort of mystification of the kind of musical compositional process is, I don't really approve of it. I like bringing people in and showing how I do it and asking them to kind of help me do it. Especially someone like Garth, because he's a huge, huge fan of music. And as I said, a great collaborator and just an all-round super nice, amazing person.
We'll hear a bit more from composer Joby Talbot in just a moment, this time about his works for opera and ballet. We're listening to Joby Talbot's score for The Winter's Tale, which was commissioned by the Royal Ballet in London. Everest is a recent opera by composer Joby Talbot, which we're hearing now, performed and commissioned by the Dallas Opera. But Joby has developed shows across art forms. The Royal Ballet in London commissioned Joby twice. First, for their 2011 production of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, and then for their 2014 adaptation of Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. I spoke with Joby about these projects, beginning with his favorite, Everest. Right now, Joby, do you have a particular piece of your own that's a favorite?
Well, right now, I have to say it would probably be my first opera that I wrote for Dallas Opera, which premiered at Dallas Opera last year in 2015, and it's actually coming back there in May of next year. I've just been down in Dallas working with their wonderful orchestra again in preparation for that. And that's, you know, I've often been a composer who I think maybe because I like collaborating, I've often been like the right-hand guy, you know, like the, you know, to the director or the choreographer. But this was the first opportunity I felt that I'd really been given the keys to the kingdom, and they kind of, you know, it was my name over the door. And I really, really enjoyed doing that. Loved working with that company, their wonderful opera house. Loved the whole Southern hospitality. And I just had a fantastic time there. And that's the piece as of today that I would say I'm most proud.
Well, I would think that with composing for opera and film, this must have contributed to the Royal Ballet's commissioning you to adapt Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and then The Winter's Tale into a ballet. Because you are so informed, I should say, you are so immersed in music that informs narrative. With ballet, it seems all the more abstract. How do you create narrative for ballet?
It's very, very, very hard. I mean, really, I mean, something like, I mean, Alice is hard because it's a sort of crazy, madcap, totally illogical romp. We had to kind of try and find some kind of narrative thread that made sense and was something you could come back to when you go off on all these crazy diversions with dancing flamingos and hedgehogs and red, you know, queens of hearts chopping on people's heads. But when we came to Winter's Tale, I mean, there's a it's called one of the problem plays of Shakespeare, and it's a very complicated, sort of overly complicated narrative. It's really kind of two plays kind of slightly ham-fistedly kind of scrunched up into one. And people love The Winter's Tale, and people know it because it's got some of the most beautiful writing in all of Shakespeare, and some of the most beautiful characters and the most moving scenes. But also, there's elements of it that don't quite make sense. So to try and tell that whole story without recourse to words was sort of crazy, really. And of course, I don't see the choreography. I'm not privy to what the choreography is going to be when I'm writing the music. I write the music first, and you know, I'm working on the whole piece 2.5 years before I even see a single step of the choreography. So it's really tricky. I mean, the way I've worked with Christopher Wheeldon, the wonderful choreographer who I did both those pieces with at the Royal Ballet, is that we would, you know, sort of sequester ourselves somewhere, read through the source material, and then just start kind of mapping it out scene by scene, trying to have kind of quite clear idea about the timings and exactly what happens from scene to scene. And then I would go away and try and depict that in music. I mean, for example, in Winter's Tale, the whole plot hinges around the descent into madness and jealousy of King Leontes, one of the main characters. You know, we have to see him, the first sort of seed of jealousy being sown, and then we have to see how he becomes increasingly more and more irrational and mad and destroys everything and hurts the people he loves. And you've got to tell that in music. And if you set up themes for characters that clearly mean different things, that are associated with, you know, if we see him and his wife when they're blissfully happy and there's music that is emblematic of their relationship, and then we hear it again kind of stressed, and then we hear it fractured, and then later in the play we begin to see it healed. You know, you can do that if you carefully structure the piece in such a way that those themes, mottos, and musical ideas are clearly presented and can be clearly associated with the different narratives and emotions and characters of the piece. And having had a background in writing music for film, and especially silent movies, when I started out in my career, I did a few silent movie scores for the British Film Institute in London. And that was hugely helpful when it came to trying to write narrative ballet. And narrative ballet is something that has gone quite out of fashion in recent. I think when we did Alice in Wonderland, it was like the first full-length narrative ballet the Royal Ballet had commissioned in 30 years or something. And when you think that, when people think of ballet, they think of, you know, the Nutcracker, Sleeping Beauty, Romeo and Juliet. They think of those full-length narrative ballets. The fact that that tradition is sort of was interrupted for a while, you know, we were sort of up against it. I think a lot of people felt that it kind of couldn't work, that that musical language and that choreographic language didn't really exist anymore. But I think Chris and I proved that it can be brought back and can work.
Well, congratulations again on your opera, Everest, at Dallas Opera. And sing sounds like it will bring tremendous joy to folks who see the movie. Joby, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lois. It's an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Joby Talbot is a composer from film to ballet. He is limited to no musical form. You can hear his latest music in the animated film Sing, which comes out in theaters tomorrow.